the bank. He slips up a bit. Bent row with problems. Contact from Middleton. Top two get together. Eddie Hoffman able to squeeze by. Row into the infield, retaining barriers. Caution out in lap 202. Problems for Ben Rowe. The 21st, the Lisa Thomas Salon.
Real Racing USA back at you live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful downtown Bradenton. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
I'm the bad guy.
You're the bad guy.
Exactly.
And
with us,
we've got one of the guys that was part of that, Jay Middleton, on the line. Jay, how you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good.
All right, man. Now, you know, I was on the front stretch. I was in the pits during the, you know, on that restart, so I didn't get to see what happened. What I did see was the entire grandstand stand up as you guys headed down the back stretch. Now, what I did get to see yesterday was a videotape that clearly shows, coming out of turn number two, Ben Rowe either lets off the gas or something happened. Something happened because you were a good car length behind him coming out of turn number two, and all of a sudden you were right there on his back bumper.
Yeah, it was just one of them deals. You know, I needed to be in position to make a pass, and it was right after a restart, and thought I'd give him a pretty good amount of room, and I was trying to make a run come off the corner, and you know, and it wasn't even really was on the corner. It was almost a straightaway, and I thought his car blew up or broke or something happened. He fell off the pace, and I pretty much had nowhere to go. He was, you know, in his line, which was about where I was at, and, you know, I hit him square, and I hit him hard, and there wasn't a whole lot of time I had to react even, and it was just an unfortunate deal that, you know, call was made that, you know, that it was my fault. And, you know, it was just one of them racing deals.
Well, now, a few people have told me it was quite a while since they had the competition, yellow, red, whatever they want to call it, where everybody came in and fueled up. A couple of people thought that maybe he was running out of gas going down the backstretch.
Well, it could have been anything. You know, I didn't really I don't have any communication with him or anything, and you know, even if I did, if he broke in front of me that quick, or you know, just didn't get in the gas, there's no reaction time, and you know, it's not really his fault. It wasn't really mine, but it's a hard call for the official to make in that situation. And unfortunately, it ended up, you know, he ended up with a wrecked car, and I ended up with a bad call, and both took us both out of the race. So it's very unfortunate, very frustrating for me, but, we had a good car, and we had a great run, and just one of them racing deals. It's hard.
Now, Jay, I got to ask you, apparently the officials do not hear anything that the announcer that talks to the crowd has to say, because he very clearly pointed out that there was a problem with that car suddenly out of the corner and then started talking about the contact and so forth. Do you think there should be some changes made so that maybe there is some give and take, so they can understand that sometimes things do happen very quickly and they can't see everything on the track as officials?
Yeah, and I did have a chance to call Glenn Luckett from CRA, the official that ended up making the call. And, you know, I didn't really want to talk to him after the race, so I was kind of upset. So I decided to wait till the day to, you know, when I was a little more level-headed to talk to him. And he basically said he saw the same thing. He watched the video, and you know, he unfortunately made the call, but he now says it was a bad call, but, you know, too little too late. But they did say that they are planning on, in the future, if they have video at the racetrack, they're going to try to get some kind of way to watch it on the replay. You know, kind of like the NFL is instituted using the replay systems. And he said it was hard for him. He looked at it. He saw what happened. He asked the people that were around him. And they all agreed that, you know, I ran into them. They didn't know why or anything else. And they made a quick judgment call. And it, to me and a lot of other people, was the wrong call. But, you know, if they can find some way to get a replay system, and I just want a fair shake. And that's all racers really want. They don't want somebody to give them the race. They don't want to do anything like that. It's just sometimes you need to have an outside opinion, and sometimes you need to look at it twice. But, you know, if they can make it better for all the racers next time, it would be fine. I'm not asking it just for it to be better for me. I want it to be better for everyone.
There's no way that we could work something out to where a guy who has a problem like that can identify it quickly to the pit crews or to the people in the pits, the officials, then get the word out, you know, say, hey, listen, I broke. Here's what happened, and that's why I slowed suddenly.
He said he didn't break.
He said he didn't break. Okay. He said he didn't break. You know, Jay, it was a very long and grueling race, and I'll tell you, you regardless of how that turned out, you did a hell of a job along with your friend Justin Draughty. You guys both put on just an incredible
whale of a show.
Yeah, an incredible performance.
Well, I appreciate it. We had a great car, and we've been knocking on the door a few times at Lakeland where we've had very excellent cars, and it just has turned out wrong. And you know, it's kind of bad. You know, stuff can go wrong quick at Lakeland real fast.
You're going 150 miles an hour, probably what 140 coming off that turn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how fast we are coming off the corner. I know we're probably entering the corner somewhere at 150, 160 mile an hour, and we're probably doing every bit of 120 coming off that corner. And, you know, and much less even that, it was a long race. It was rain delayed in the middle of it, or not really delayed, but, you know, we run a lot of slow laps and a lot of red flags. And even then, we're in the car for three and a half hours, and these cars aren't, you know, particularly comfortable. They're not cup cars. Don't have air conditioners and stuff like that. And you know, even then, you know, your reaction time isn't the best at the end of a 200 lap race that's on for 3 hours. And you know, it's not even that your reaction time is bad. If something bad happens that fast, there's really not a whole lot you can do. And I've always been pretty good at dodging wrecks and trying to avoid it. And I'm not a rough racer. Anybody that's seen me race, they've never seen me really just go out there and do anything just like that. And it was unfortunate that a call like that had to be made, but you know, they did what they thought was right, and you know, hurt me. But anyways, hopefully in the future they can learn from it and help other racers too.
Yeah, we're talking to Jay Middleton. He was involved with the wreck with Ben Rowe with four laps left to go at the Speed Fest this past Saturday night in Lakeland. Now, your car was bad fast all weekend long. I saw some of the videotapes from Friday night. You and Wayne running side by side, man, that had to be some good old fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I ended up on the wrong end of that fun, but we led 98 laps, and it come down to a 5-lap race shootout at the end of it. Unfortunately, he had a better short run car than I did. I was able to stretch it out really big on him in the long run, and you don't want to, with 5 laps to go, you don't want to see Wayne Anderson in your mirror.
No doubt.
Go
ahead.
A lot of people, have problems with Wayne or anything. I don't have any problem with Wayne. He's a great race car driver, and he's gonna give it to you if he's got it. And unfortunately, he gave it to me. But anyways, we had a great car. And
what's the plans for Jay Middleton in 2007?
Not real sure yet. We're still trying to actively find sponsorship, and we have an ARCA car sitting at the house ready to go, and we just unfortunately don't have the money to do it. And we had a lot of success last year in the ARCA division, and we just need to get back out there, and that's what we're shooting for, and that's our goal. But we just need a little bit of help, and hopefully somebody out there one day will. We're actively trying to go out, but hopefully someday somebody will step up and say, let's go racing. But we're doing everything we can, and hopefully it will involve a lot of ARCA and a lot of super late model racing in Florida.
All right, Jay, we really appreciate you coming on with us tonight and explaining your side of what happened this past Saturday night. Once again, you had an awesome run going. Thought you came out on the short end of the stick, but we really thank you for coming on tonight.
All right, I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Sure. Rick, what do you think about those, Bill, what do you guys think about those, for lack of a nicer word, clowns that come on the message board ripping USA apart for the way they handled
them? Yeah, they said there was no racing going on, there's no nothing, and then I see this videotape clip of just parts of the race, and it's like, how could you miss all this action? And they must have piled 12 cars up on the front stretch at one race and so forth.
There was a lot of stuff going on. The guy who won the race.
Hey, real quick, guys.
Yeah.
We've got R.J. Scott from the CRA.
There we go.
Right now.
Okay, cool.
R.J.,
hey,
go ahead.
RJ.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing pretty good, man.
Hey, I just wanted to personally get on and commend Jay and all his team. They're a class act, and that's a tough situation. And those situations never go down exactly like we all want them to go. And it's a tough call from the director's perspective. A lot of Jay, what Jay said about talking to Glenn Luckett, the race director, is true. They talked and want to look at trying to have some other avenues to review information. FYI, the announcer on there was not the announcer on the racetrack. That was just the announcer on the video.
Okay.
So when the question was made about that, that was not what the fans or officials. In fact, he was on the tower making the calls to his video himself, so we didn't hear that. But nonetheless, everybody has to know that even though things didn't go well for Jay, and I hope Jay's still listening, everybody knew he was there. He had one of the best cars all weekend, and those guys are a class act, and anytime, you know, they're around, that brings the level of competition up. And, you know, I felt like from an official's perspective, that really needed to be said. And, you know, I don't think anybody's placing any blame saying, you know, he intentionally did this or he did that. It's just one of those circumstances that one thing precipitated the other. What you've got in Jay Middleton is one class act, and the state of Florida should be proud. And everywhere he goes, and he's right, I hope somebody jumps on board with those guys and gives them the support they need to go do the things they need to do.
But, you know, RJ, I'm really glad you called in because, I wanted to tell you, too, man, we need to do this more. It is so cool to have these guys coming to Florida from Maine, Indiana, Canada.
Oh, no doubt.
Michigan, all over.
Yeah,
Idaho.
Mixing it up with the guys down here in Florida and having that kind of competition.
Oh, the competition was fierce.
It's awesome, man. We had to do that at least once more in a year besides just in the wintertime.
I chuckled today. I got online and I saw some of the stuff on Karnak on some of these people that were talking about a boring race. It's like, whoa, where did you guys come from? That was a freaking awesome race.
No doubt.
I mean, the show, the Friday night race that Jay and Wayne put on, that was outstanding. Watching Eddie Hoffman come through the back of the field, he got kind of screwed up in the deal with the call. You know, he took a chance and then the rains came and so he ended up giving up some position, had to fight all the way back through that, and Ben Rowe doing a super job, and Wayne Anderson looking like he's got it covered. I mean, I don't know what more you could ask for in a race.
No doubt, man. I think the move of the night with Hoffman avoiding the wreck.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, honestly, I didn't catch it the first time, but it's clearly there on tape, and I know he's wiping his head afterwards going, man, I can't believe I missed that one.
No doubt.
And the old veteran, Butch Miller, right there behind it. I mean, you're talking about when you talk, I know Fritz didn't have a great weekend, but, you know, he'd have been there, and Wayne Anderson and Jay and the guys from the north. I'm not sure you're going to see better super late model racing anywhere. And from an official's perspective, for the CRA and fast car officials to get together and work side by side and make all these calls and work the tech and work on pit road, it just says that, hey, we can all work together and we can put on great shows for the fans. They just got to come out and see it.
No doubt.
When does the CRA start the when do you start your season for 2007?
Well, we open our season April 1st in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's going to be a qualifier for the All-American 400, which will give somebody a guaranteed start. It's a great deal. We see a lot of the same thing. The South and the North will see a lot of the same guys come to Nashville. It's a great facility as well. If you guys have never been and you want to get up and see it, love to have you. But it is, it's truly one of those historic places for super late models as well, being the home of the All-American 400.
All right, RJ, we appreciate you calling in, brother.
All right, thanks, guys, and enjoy the show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
RJ Scott from the CRA. How about that?
Now you stole my thunder because now I don't have any reason to rip all those monkeys.
It is funny, though, that guys would come to the race, not stay for all of it, so to speak, and then go start talking about it when they really don't know what happened.
Well, what really gets me is some of these media guys that take a quote off the message board and treat it as reality.
Well, but that's,
and then call themselves media.
Yeah, but that's their whole shtick. That's
shtick.
Their whole.
Yeah, you can call it. That's right.
That's
shtick.
Their whole idea. So it's just interesting how things tend to go. And
what else happened?
What seems
anything
to happen?
Else happened? Oh. Gary Wright, first back-to-back.
Wow.
King of the 360s
at East Bay Raceway.
No doubt. Yeah,
he got it done.
They didn't get any rain. We got it all.
Yeah, he got he got the first night, then brain dead.
McCarl.
McCarl. Oh, Terry. There we go. Terry McCarl got the second night, and then Gary Wright got it right the next
time. You know what was really cool when we went to the USA, though, was talking to Barry about the guy who was in Crystal Gale's bus.
I tried to get a hold of Barry today so he could tell us this, but you talked to him.
Yeah.
What was
the deal?
Whole
bus routine.
This is too funny.
This guy stole Crystal Gale's bus and drove it to USA.
That was heard by everybody.
But then he tried to get in the track because he said he was waiting for Tony Stewart.
That's right.
Barry, who's like, the second general manager, vice president or something?
Yeah, he's like the
operations. We talked to him Saturday night. When we were trying to, with the fiasco of getting in the place.
He took Crystal Gale's bus, then he used it to try to gain entry to the track and actually got in, I take it.
Well, he pulled up to the entrance to where you go into the track, into the pits, and Barry came out and said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I'm here, I'm waiting for my boss, Tony Stewart." Well, Barry says, "I know Tony Stewart really well." Flips out his next tone and starts beeping Tony. Guy says, "I got to go to McDonald's." and left. So
Barry thought it was funny that the guy was going to take a big rig to McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, for
but they finally got the guy sitting at Daytona.
Too crazy, huh?
With a hooker.
Wild stuff.
Yeah, Barry thought it was pretty funny.
Crystal Gale got her bus back.
Yeah. Hey, talking about East Bay a little bit. Let me hit this real quick. The golf tournament. The to benefit the racing the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Thank you, Bill. Come on. Sprint Car Hall of Fame, it happens this Friday night, or Friday afternoon, excuse me, at Summerfield Crossings in Riverview. They're going to do that golf tournament, and it's like $55 a person. You get range balls, golf tournament, lunch, the whole nine yards. And they're going to do the, they call it now the Dick Cheney shotgun start and at 9 o'clock to go.
Say what?
They call it the Dick Cheney shotgun start. I like it. It's fun. Anyway.
And you get to golf with some sprint car drivers.
Give them a call. If you're a golfer and a race fan, you want to play golf with some great sprint car drivers from the World of Outlaws and the Wingless Sprints up at East Bay this week, 800-874-4488. That's 800-874-4488, and you can go golfing with some of the fastest on dirt.
Hey, it's Bobby Deal's birthday.
Yeah, that's cool.
Happy birthday, Bobby.
Happy birthday, Bobby Deal.
Does that make him 62?
But he probably feels like he's about 80.
He's going to age quick now.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So tonight here, what do you got going?
I don't know. There is no telling what he's going to
do. Cheering for Bobby. Okay.
So here, as soon as we quit fooling around, I want to tell you something about Auburndale. But first, in the house we have just a guitar legend.
The guitar man.
Guitar man.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous Dan Toler.
No doubt.
He's going to spend a few minutes with us. And he's a golfer, too, let me tell you.
Is he?
He's a golfer?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, there you go. We need to pony
absolutely
up $55. We'll put Short Track America shirt on him. Off you go, Daddy. Hit it, baby.
Yeah.
Bill just wants to give our money
we
away.
We have a lot of security in the house because two track owners are here, and they always bring security. You notice they always bring a lot of security when they come to these kind of things. Mike Peters,
I think
from
they all
Ocala
bring security to keep John out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't have special music though.
I know. We don't have it down yet.
I know.
We just don't know. Mike Peters from Ocala Speedway, and Don Critty from Citrus County Speedway, been there for like 800 years.
850.
850.
That's when Dick Anderson owned it, 850 years ago.
That's right.
Tales from the Crypt.
Back when dinosaurs were racing each other up.
Who else we gotta have on tonight? We're gonna talk to the Outlaw Street Stock guys for a minute. And what else?
We got North Florida Motor Speedway. Oh, yeah. Bill's got a job this weekend.
Yeah, I got.
Bill got a job.
I got conned into going.
Conned in, yeah.
And come to think of it, hey, I need to tell Bobby Deal I won't be at Charlotte.
French fries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
French fries. Yeah. Okay.
So I do the story and the points.
So what's up with Auburndale Speedway? We had Rex Guy was
sold. Not sold.
Yeah, not sold. No.
Not sold.
No. 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 Rex Guy who had apparently had. Oh, okay.
Just so.
I'm getting.
I know.
I'm
every
getting,
time
like,
you do that, these guys
here.
Just everything stops.
Instead,
Rex supposed to continue talking.
I know. Rex Guy had put down a down payment, supposedly, on the place or whatever, and he was going to buy it.
He didn't buy it through Coast Bank, did he?
We were expecting him to take over this place, like at the conclusion of the current little winter thing that they're doing at
Spectacular.
Auburndale. Yeah, whatever it is. Well, it turns out, according to Rex Guy, my source who talked to Rex yesterday. There was money put into an escrow account, and they've decided to, like, pull out of that whole deal. And You know that go-kart track that they run there, where they run the go-karts?
Right.
Well, apparently there's a little bit of a conflict or something with the contract with the people who run the go-kart place.
Building it without a permit, maybe?
Well, there's a conflict. And so basically, it sounds to me like, based on, I mean, this is a little bit of an assumption, but it really sounds like that Rex Guy and his whole deal, they've decided to wait on the courthouse steps along with all the other hopefuls.
Go for the cheaper
rate.
There's
a whole bunch of hopefuls
go for the cheaper
ready to
rate.
Go to the courthouse steps, and they're just waiting on the city and the lawyers to move it to that point.
Yeah, why swoop in and save the day when you can get it half price a couple of months down the road?
And there has been no communication between J.T. Beard, the current operator and owner, and the city.
He's not talking to us either.
No. So. That's all right.
Such as it.
It's because we're buying the place.
That's it. You guys ready for the first one?
Right, Jack?
That's right.
We've got a banger.
Hey, there's some...
go ahead, take us out for a break.
It's not like picking and grinning, but it is picking, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the house. We'll be talking to him here in just a second. Danny Toler. Don't go far. We'll be back to Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stuff. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stuff?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper. That's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, we're back, and we're going to talk to our next guest here in a minute. First of all, I've got to tell you, we had our friend Danger Stan Toler came in and spent some time with us a couple of weeks ago, and we had some technical malfunctions, so we decided to bring him back. Dan Toler started playing with the Allman Brothers Band a long time ago. He played with the Greg Allman Band, got four gold records on his wall. He got a platinum record there. One of those gold records is with Hank Williams Jr. He can play guitar, and he's fast, man. He's fast. And he plays Southern rock. He plays blues. And what he really loves is the kind of music he's been doing now and lately with a little more jazz influence. Not only that, he's one hell of a guy. Dan Toler, why don't you come up here and sit with us for a few minutes, man?
Dangerous Dan.
Thanks for coming in and spending some more time with us, man.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. We know a lot of people are asking, why are you having this guy on? He doesn't have nothing to do with racing. Well, Dan's a race fan. And, you know, a lot of race car drivers do a lot of crazy things. A lot of race fans do a lot of crazy things. But Dan is like one hell of a guitar player, man. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And you were kind of a car nut all your life, it sounds like.
Well, I grew up in Indiana. I was an Indy 500 guy, and I've been to four races. I love that. I would love to go to the Daytona 500 and just some, you know, races like East Bay, that kind of thing. I'd love to get into that a little bit. Looking forward to it.
Missed a wild one this past weekend, huh?
I'm telling you.
There's all kinds of good racing going on. We talked about getting you out to the track and stuff, but I think we kind of bounced around some really good ideas, and Jack will talk to you more about it later, but getting you involved with some big races so that you can get a chance to really see what goes on.
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
Be part of the deal.
That'd be great.
And the crowd can get the opportunity to know, you know, actually you're going to be there and have some fun with it. Come out and see some people that you probably haven't seen in a while.
Fantastic, yeah.
Because there's a lot of people at them races that have been in your crowds before.
Right,
They just never knew you were a race fan.
Yeah.
And you just finished working on a new CD you're a big part of, right?
Yeah, it's a CD. The name of it's TGZ, and it stands for Toler, Gary, and Zinner. The three of us are partners that played on it, and we just finished that 3 months ago, actually, and it's available on the Internet. You can catch it off of my site, dantoler.com, yeah. And it's really good. I'm very proud to be a part of it. It's kind of a jazzy influence. A CD and soul and R&B got some of that in it, but I don't know if it covers quite a bit of influences, and you know, I just love it. I'm very proud of it. You need to get it.
Yeah, yep. Everybody needs to get it.
Yeah, I was able to listen to it. I haven't had time to listen to the whole thing,
right?
But I listened to a little bit of it, and it's a whole different little direction from some of the other stuff that, you know, regular fans of yours might.
Oh, absolutely. It's not Southern rock at all.
Yeah,
like I say, it's got some soul, R&B, and jazz, and which I love all three of those. And, you know, get the Southern rock going there in some way, shape, or form. But,
and one of those right now, one of those called, like, Living Dangerously or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. That's the title of the CD and the title cut from the CD, and I wrote that. And very proud of it.
Hey, cool. Jack.
Very proud of it, Jack. You
got
to get it.
We got somebody on the phone right now that says he knows Dan. He's calling from out of state. Caller, you there?
Yeah, good evening.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent. I just got to say one thing. If you're planning on having Danny Toler get involved in racing, if he drives a race car like he drives the golf ball, he's going to be all over the place, left and right, into the wall.
Oh, Lord.
Clicker Pinkball calling in, Mr. Toler.
Who is this?
Clicker Pinkball.
Oh, how you doing, Todd?
Todd Miracle.
Oh, yeah. Todd used to be a Sarasota fan.
Oh, there's a voice from the past we haven't talked to.
Where are you calling from, Todd?
That is true.
I'm living up in Muncie, Indiana now.
Listening to us online.
And, yeah, because a lot of folks will remember Todd from the Salute to Racings and so forth.
That he was the marketing director out at DeSoto Speedway for a long time.
Yeah, caterer.
So he's got his own
announcer.
You know, the truth is, fellas, he only beat me once in golf. And we played, I don't know how many hundreds of times, and he still got the pink ball. Whoever loses carries the pink ball. He has it.
And it's still in the side pocket waiting for the next time we play, Danny.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds good.
How you been doing, man?
I tell you, people, buy this guy's new CD. It is awesome. I picked up a copy online. I can't wait to hear you talk and tell all these great racing fans about the new project. Had to put the plug in for Danny. And can't tell you how much I miss all you guys down there. I mean, racing was such a fun time. That's how I met Danny through Jay Arnold and everybody. So, you know, great people, great times. Miss all you guys. But I just wanted to call to say hi real quick. And you guys have a great night.
Yeah, thanks, bro. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks for calling, Todd.
Love you, Danny.
Love you too, buddy.
How cool is that?
That's small world, man. It's been a long time since you're
here. No doubt. How long has it been since we talked to him? Yuffies?
Yeah, it's been since Ernie Irvin was here.
7, 8 years.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Vincent,
that's neat.
I didn't.
There's something.
That's okay. Take the call right on the air. That'd be good. Who is it?
Well, there we go.
Got a question for Dan? Give us a call. 941-748-3490.
Yeah, we'll let you talk to Danny Toler.
There you go.
Danny.
So, go ahead, Bill.
What are some of the things that you look for in a new song or in writing one? Some of the things that you've written yourself. What kind of things inspire you for those kind of new projects that you've gotten into?
Well, that's kind of a hard question to answer. I mean, an idea that comes along can come from anywhere. It's just whatever your mind is feeling like at the time to get inspired by.
What?
I mean, it could be anything, really. Looking out a window at a beautiful bird flying across the lawn or whatever. You know, I mean, that can inspire some kind of emotion.
Do you remember one situation where something inspired you to one of those songs you've written or played?
Well, the song Ali Shuffle, which you guys play here, was about my chow dog that I had, who's done gone now. But he, you know, would run across the yard and, you know, just kind of hopping along, you know, and I kind of come up with that the thing, you know, the opening up for the song. And I said, well, you know, that's kind of appropriate to
Dan,
call him that, you know.
We got another fan on the line. His name's Dan, too. Go ahead, Dan.
How come you didn't tell me about this show you're doing tonight?
This ain't Dan. That ain't the person who answered the phone.
Uh-oh.
How come
this is my daughter.
This out over the Internet?
Oh.
Well, did we not get a kitchen pass, or what's going on?
She had a really deep voice when she answered the phone.
All right, I want to speak to Dan.
Hey, what are you doing out there? You're supposed to be getting the groceries, bring the milk.
Are you listening?
Hello?
Hello.
Don't
Hello
listen
there.
To your computer hi, now. Listen to your phone.
Hi, Danielle.
This is his daughter. Hi.
Oh, hi, Danielle. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I have the first question that pops into my mind for you, Danielle, would be, what was it like growing up as the daughter of Dan Toler?
It was very interesting.
Okay.
Details.
No, it was great. It was great. No, it was wonderful.
How old were you before you really realized that, hey, Dad's pretty important, or at least he does something that's pretty exciting every night almost?
Probably 5, 6.
That's cool.
When she started spending money a lot, she realized I was the guy.
Are you looking forward to coming to the races with him some night?
Oh, for sure.
That'd be awesome.
Well, I'm not bringing you.
Yes, he is.
Okay, you'll just have to take the limo on your own, honey.
Anybody ever call you Dangerous Danielle?
No, never
have.
No.
Well,
I don't want to keep him long. I just want to know how often I have to find this out over the Internet that he's doing this show.
Well,
the Internet's the best place to find out about everything.
That's good practice for you, honey, since you just started doing it. So I'm glad you caught up with me.
Dan, you have to stay in touch with your children and let them know what's happening in your life, okay? We don't want them to get too far stretched away from you, okay?
Danielle, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Danny, bye. Danny, how did you get this moniker, Dangerous? Where did this come from?
Dickie Betts gave me that years ago when we first met, and he was tell everybody in his interviews that I was dangerous to his career, which was a nice thing to say, although that's not really true, but that was nice of him to do that.
Well, I'll tell you, anybody that's ever seen the two of you playing on a stage, it's a lot of guitar going there, man.
Yeah, we have some pretty nice and courageous moments in our past.
Some magic.
There's some magic. Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have there been those sessions where you've sit with each other and just done stuff away on the bus or whatever and wished, geez, I wish we'd gotten that down on tape?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, we would come up with an idea, and then most of the time we'd develop it on stage. A lot of times things wouldn't work, but the ones that did were, you know, pretty spontaneous, so we would keep doing them. For instance, Southbound. There was a song called Southbound that he did, and at the end of it, we would get into his solo. At the end of his solo, he would do this one line, and I started harmonizing it one night. And we kept doing it. The crowd went off on it, and we did too. You know, it was just experimental, and we kept doing it from that point on.
That was the intro to our old show. Southbound.
Rick and I did.
Is that
years,
right?
Years ago.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. That's a killer tune.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that's great.
We've been promoting your show or your music for probably 10 years now.
about 5 years, you say? Thanks a lot.
So you're having, like, you know, of course, just a zillion people know you as, like, the Southern rock and blues guitarist.
Right, right.
And now it's like you're doing what more like what you really want to do? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's challenging and to do it and try to be successful at it, mm-hmm. you know, especially with, you know, your typecast or whatever is one bag and then you try to go to something else and, you know, it's hard to be accepted a lot. But, you know, we're trying.
Yeah.
We're trying for it. And,
yeah.
Hey, we got another Dan.
That's really what I want to do, but
we got another Dan on the line. I hope his voice doesn't get high.
Oh my God.
Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
We just want to know about your adventures to California last week out at the NAMM show.
Who is this?
This is Dan Bassett. We're calling to let you know we're listening up here in the Northeast.
Hey, Dan, how are you, buddy?
Great, man. We're listening.
How's Desiree? By the way, this guy's daughter, Desiree Bassett. She's 14 years old. She's been playing guitar for 12 years. Absolutely incredible, guys. I mean, you would not.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's incredible.
Awesome.
She's doing Joe Satriani tap, finger tapping on guitar. And, I mean, she's fast and just great. She's really great. How's the girl doing?
She's doing great. She's outside doing vocal lessons right now. But how did it feel for you to see that little girl playing your songs?
I can't understand what.
How did it feel to hear that little girl playing your music?
Oh my God, it's fantastic, bro! Just fantastic, wonderful.
He also asked about last week in California. How did that go, or something for you?
Great, just fantastic. The whole weekend it was called NAMM Show. It's where all the merchants and manufacturers get together, and you know the manufacturers sell all their product for the next year, and you know, like music stores go out to buy and that kind of thing. And they're probably anywhere from 200,000 to 300,000 people for the weekend on this, and it was incredible.
Do you walk around and bump into other
musicians that
you see, and they're doing the same thing?
I ran into so many people that I know. And actually a couple of people I hadn't seen in about 25 years, like Jeff Carlisi from 38 Special, who's an old friend. I'd lost touch with him for years and years, and we ran into each other. It was great.
That's cool.
It was great. It was fun. But it was neat. All the guitar companies were out there, and, you know, bumping heads and that kind of thing.
That's
rocking and rolling, right?
And that's fascinating, too, because, you know, like race car drivers.
Hey, Dan, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for putting
up.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Dan, thanks, man.
I left for Dan.
I didn't realize he was still on. But, you know, like race car drivers, I mean, their whole thing is like, you know, they get sponsors to go in their cars, you know, and they help advertise and promote.
Right.
And that helps them do their thing.
Right.
And you do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's all entertainment.
Absolutely.
You know,
can you remember your first big sponsorship that came along from some company and said, hey, we want to put you up. We'll pay for most of this year's tour or whatever.
Budweiser.
Hello.
Was it?
Budweiser, yeah. The ABB.
Yeah.
The
well, you paid them candy. Back, though. That way.
I drank enough to keep that sponsor. No, I'm kidding.
How hard was it? I mean, you toured for a long time with the Allman Brothers Band and with Greg.
Right.
Was that hard in a way? Was that tough? Is that a tough thing? I hear a lot of people talk about how tough it is. Was it tough for you?
No. It was, you know, it's the life, man. I mean, it's great.
Hey, Jack.
It's great. Now, you get tired of living out of suitcases and, you know, the same four walls night after night after night. But your reward is when the crowd is cheering and, you know, and you're playing your stuff, you know, and your original tunes and that. It's wonderful, you know. That's the ultimate payback, you know. It's your reward. It's just great.
Hey, Dan.
It's just killer.
Do you know a place called Pete's Barn?
Pete's Barn. Yes, I do.
Big Scott?
Yeah.
Big Scott's on the line. Hey, Big.
Danny, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Love it. Love doing good up here in Pennsylvania. Everybody says hi. I just wanted to tell you your new CD is awesome.
Oh, thank you much, man. I miss everybody and love to get up there and see everybody.
When are you coming back up here?
I don't know when you guys raise up enough money.
Well, we're still working on that for sure. I just wanted to say hi. I won't keep you and tell you that, you know, everybody's
loving
you up here and wanting you to come back. So we will raise some more money.
Oh, we'll get back up there.
I got to tell you, you know, I sang with you at the barn. I did whipping post with you.
Oh, man, I miss being up
and,
there.
They recorded it, and it's like a 15-minute long whipping post, but it was the highlight of my singing career. And
thank you, bro. Thank you, man.
Take care, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, we miss getting up there this year, and hopefully we'll get up there next year.
You got it. I'll talk to you when I talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, this is the most uneducated question of the bunch. Where's Pete's barn at? Yeah,
Pennsylvania.
Okay, I thought it might be way up
just outside of Philadelphia in the hills.
Sprint car heaven.
Yeah, sprint car heaven. Yeah,
my buddy's house.
Oh, okay.
Looks like you, you got. You must have paid them all off, Danny.
Jesus, Dan.
Yeah.
Somebody.
$20 per call. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you here as long as they love listening to you, man. That's great. That's awesome that there's that many people out there that want to get a chance to talk to you and stuff. And
hey, Dan, say hi to Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? This
I'm fine.
From Long Island.
Wait a minute. Who's Mitch?
Who are you, Mitch?
He's a fan from Long Island.
Well, I caught you lots of times at Mulcahy's out in Long Island when you were playing with Dickie.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And,
thanks, man.
I really got to say I really enjoyed your playing.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping you'll be coming to Long Island pretty soon.
Oh, me too. Me too. We are actually working on putting something together there. You ever heard of an artist by the name of Delmar Brown?
Yes, I have.
Pardon?
Yes.
Yes. He and I are putting together a group, as a matter of fact, and going to do a CD within the next 3 to 4 months and hopefully be doing some shows in your area, in Long Island and all over New York. And maybe all
terrific.
Over the country and all over the world. If it ever gets to that point.
Matt going to be in the band?
Pardon?
Any chance Matt Ziner's going to be in the band?
I don't think so, because Delmar covers the keyboards on that one pretty well.
Okay.
But, y'all, I love Matt, too.
Yeah.
He's my buddy.
We miss him. Actually, I miss all you guys from the Great Southern from that first, compilation of folks. I thought that's when the band was the best.
Oh, man. That Great Southern Band was fun, man, and I tell you, Matt Ziner was great. That was when Dickie let Matt go. That was kind of a pretty devastating loss to the band because he was a great player.
Absolutely. All right. Well, good to hear from you, and definitely on your website, you'll be letting us know when you're going to start the tour.
Thanks, man. I don't know. We'll keep things posted on there for sure.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, bro.
Okay, take care.
Okay, you too, bye.
All right, Jack, we might as well just dump that racing crap.
Yeah.
I do
want to make sure you do one thing, and that is I want you to tell us about the members of your band now so that their fans can get involved in the ones that are out there, you know, floating around.
Which band?
Well, whoever's going to join you this year, as you try to get out.
I'm just kidding you, Bill. I have a couple of different things happening. And,
that's what I know,
and deciding on the final one yet has not happened.
Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot.
But Delmar Brown right now is top choice. He's a black artist that's been living in Copenhagen for about the last 15, 20 years. He's moving back to the States. He and his wife, and putting this band together, and he's a great player and singer.
Why do I recognize the name somewhat? I mean, what do you
he do? Played with Pat Martino, jazz guitarist years ago, and he also played with Miles Davis.
My dad was
he's just, you know, he's out there,
player.
And I love him, love his music, and a chance of doing some things possibly with Sting, the artist Sting, and backing up the Police. It's a possibility. I don't know if I should open my mouth and
you just
insert
did.
My foot, but
you
just I just did.
Right here on Real Racing USA.
Maybe it's a possibility. So,
Larry, say hi to Dan.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Dan. It's Larry from New Hampshire.
How are you, Larry from New Hampshire?
Good. When are you coming up to see us?
I don't know. You might have to come down here. It's warm down here.
Who you been playing with?
You might have to come down here. It's warm down here.
Yeah, I think so. But you have beautiful girls down there.
I know. I would love to come up there and play, though, bro. Hopefully we will. Where in New Hampshire are you?
In Charlestown, right on the Vermont border. It's real cold.
God, I bet so. Bless your heart, man. Stay inside. Stay warm.
We're trying.
Keep listening to the blues and southern rock and jazz and all
this
that stuff.
This weekend, named Rachel. I think she's turning 8, so if you give her a big hug for me.
I will.
All right, man.
Thank you, bro.
Keep on.
Okay.
That's cool. Man, you're getting them from everywhere.
So, now what we're going to have to do now, see, is we're going to take this show to the racetracks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Yeah, like we talked about. Cool. This is going to be something.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you have to take me
See,
with
this
them.
Is why we've been talking about this, doing this internet thing for, what, 2 years?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you see, man, it's like.
It'll blow it out.
And we've got to figure out a way to get the band live and
absolutely.
In front of an audience here. And,
absolutely.
And it's an awesome way, though, to stay in touch with your fans.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't have that every night grind out there on the road, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you
can
get an opportunity
absolutely.
To talk to them, and they can keep involved with you. Emails, phone calls, whatever it takes.
Networking, brother.
Networking.
That's it.
That's the way it works.
On your website, people right now they can order the new Living Dangerously CD.
Yes.
And
yes.
then you have there's I mean people are still ordering
Year of Tears
from Great. All over the world.
Great.
I mean and
Great.
You know you still get Toler Brothers.
Yeah.
Real blues, real hard.
Right.
A little more
right.
hard blues. Right.
The Nice House record
yeah.
label.
And
on
DanToler.com.
Jimmy Hall sang on it on one cut with me.
Yeah,
on there it was great. It's a lot of fun.
Well, last but not least, did you sneak in as a backup player for anybody else that we wouldn't really realize you played for or helped out?
Here we go.
Yeah, just start
lay
the
it
list.
On him, man. Lay it on.
Well, no, I know
run
he's done a lot.
Run that by me one more time.
Well, I know you've played for a lot of people, and people are well-known people, but there's some that we may not realize that you helped play for, played background music, or even helped up front along the way. Oh. In your
well,
career.
I mean, I don't know about helped as far as along the way. I've played with a lot of different people, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Hank Jr., Dickie Betts, Allman Brothers, Greg Allman, Rick Derringer.
Wow.
Rock and Roll Hall.
Charlie Daniels, Marshall Tucker, Lynyrd Skynyrd. All those cats.
You did the Hall of Fame?
Cats. The Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And
how'd you miss ZZ Top and all that? I don't know.
It's a three-man band.
We did a show with them about 3 years ago out west in New Mexico. And
See,
it was fun.
See, we already got racetracks begging for him.
Now, this is Mike Peters. He's the owner of Ocala Speedway. He's already wanting to know when we can get you up there.
We can do a gig.
And this is
fantastic.
You know,
Appreciate that
12-hour thing, race, that party at the end. There you go, man.
Where's this at?
Ocala.
Fantastic. Let's go.
Yeah, last time I seen you play live was at Ocala.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was out there with the Renegades. You did that thing out there. Remember?
Lord, that's right.
Outside.
Yes, that's
on the,
right. All right, we got our last caller for Dan on the line. It's Mike.
Uh-oh.
Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dan. I'm a good friend of Mark Mays and Jack Pearson's. I live up here in Nashville, and I play guitar, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
What did you use on that Toler CD to get that awesome tone you have on there?
The Toler CD, yeah.
The tone?
Yes. What kind of amp and what kind of pedal did you use?
I was using a Marshall 100 with a 412 bottom.
We're talking cans and pistons here.
It was a four-barrel carburetor with a...
My God. Yeah, but
with nitrous.
I had a cousin who polished Showbud guitars. He polished the chrome on Showbud guitars. And he used to do that, too.
And I used a Strat and a Les Paul.
No tube screamer,
house reverb.
Well, I tell you what, that is that tone. I mean, I've seen you with Dickie. I've seen you play with when you played with the Fooks. When you played in Nashville, I was up there. And you played with Dickie, and that tone was great too. So.
Oh, thank you, bro. Thank you,
just
bro.
Sound awesome.
It's in the hands, man. It's not the amp.
Oh yeah, it's in the hands. But I just want to say I really appreciate your music, and you keep going on.
Well, bless you, bro. Appreciate it, man. Certainly will
okay,
do that.
Buddy.
Wow. Man, you're clicking them off faster than we ever dreamed. There is no doubt.
I didn't mean to take up time from
these
people
okay.
out here.
Dan, appreciate you dropping by. We're gonna
how did it get started for you? I mean, how did it get to where you are now? Because,
from the beginning?
From
Ohio.
The beginning. Where did you get discovered? How did you get discovered to, like, to be asked to join the Allman Brothers? And
well, I was my first wife and I were heading to Florida in a 65 Buick, and we had our TV and $400 cash, everything we owned. heading to Florida to join a band called Melting Pot. And on our way down, the band broke up. They had hired me on guitar. Said, come on down. We want you to play. So on my way down, the band breaks up. We decided just, well, we're here in Florida, so, you know, we were in Largo up in St. Pete, and we rented a place for a month, and my wife got a job at a nursing home, and I was the pool guy every day for about a year and a half, or about 6 months, something like that. And the guys in the band, the two guys that left the band, the Melting Pot, on our ride down, went to Macon to join Dickie and put a band together called Dickie Betts and Great Southern in 1975. And they said, we'll get you an audition. And I said, okay, yeah, right. So we didn't have enough money for a phone. And there was, at our apartment, and there was a phone booth just right outside of our door. And I'd walk over to the pool back and forth every day. And sometimes that phone would ring, you know, and just never answer it, you know. The one day I just happened to walk by, and I said, oh, man, this is driving me crazy. I picked up the phone. Hello. He said, I want to speak to Dan Tolder. And I said, you got him. He said, this is Dickie Betts. And I said, yeah, right. Bam, I hung the phone up. So the phone rang again, you know, and I picked it up. And he said, is this Dan Tolder? And I said, is this really you? I said, I'm sorry I hung up on you, man. And he said, I want you to come up and audition. I want to put another guitar player in the band. I said, oh, wow, this is great. So I missed my first flight and out of Tampa, and then I ended up getting up to his place that night at about, I guess, 11:30, 12 o'clock that night. And he had this five-mile lane, gravel lane up to his house on top of this mountain, and I could hear the guitars and bass and drums, you know, them practicing out on the front porch that night. And I said, boy, it sure sounds good. And got up there and pulled my guitar out, and we played Southbound for the first time. I'd never heard it before. And at the end of it, he kind of looked over at me and, you know, was giving me the nod to twin the line, and I did it with him note for note. And he said, well, don't guess I need to look any farther. I said, oh, great. I said, am I in the band? He said, yeah. And I said, well, when do I get my first check?
Yeah.
Because I ain't leaving.
Yeah. So, you ever think about going back to Largo and getting that phone booth?
I'd like to own that apartment complex, but
wow, that's
anyway,
awesome.
That's kind of how it started.
That's awesome. That is
Dan,
awesome.
We cannot thank you enough for your time. I mean, well, an hour.
Thank you guys, and I hope I haven't made any enemies out here from hogging the mic. I'm sorry, guys. But
I think we already awesome. Got you a couple gigs.
No. Yeah, that's right, man. That's right. This is great. This is great. I appreciate you all very much, and I look forward to coming up to some races. And
cool.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And thanks to all the fans and folks that called in.
Oh,
yeah.
No doubt.
Yep. All my cousins in Georgia, everywhere, all around the world.
All right. The man, Dan Driz, Dan Toller.
Told you'd like the tune. You like the man. We love him. Awesome, awesome job. He's been nice enough here for us at Short Track America to let us use most everything he's done, so we appreciate it. Don't go far, folks. We'll be back with more right after this.
Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, Look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think? Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, stub master, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are at the Snook River Grill with Real Racing USA. We're getting ready to
Real Rock and Roll USA.
That's right, Real Rock and Roll. Yeah, anything you
Dan
want.
Dan Toller USA.
He's the man.
Jack.
The internet is just an awesome thing,
isn't it, though?
Oh, and these guys love the internet. Oh, they love the internet. It has been so good to them. As we...
Hey, Jack, all you right, want to introduce our next guest?
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, now.
I said the internet has been... Oh, they love the internet. This is
Yeah. Well, with us now, we have two track owners that have been experimenting with a little thing called... sometimes is rare in stock car racing, and it's called track owners cooperating. Mike Peters from Ocala Speedway and Don Critty, who is the promoter over at Citrus, and these guys battle each weekend to see who can get the most cars in their pits.
I figured it out. We just need to start the track owners union.
Yeah.
Did you guys get the shirts?
We have that.
You got to talk into the microphone.
And you got to turn it on, too.
It's on.
Ready?
Ready.
All right.
Ready.
The first question I got to ask Mike is, do you really have that sign that says Don Nerone will do anything for me?
Yeah, it's hanging up in Lou's office.
Awesome. I got to have a picture of that. I got to have a picture of that.
We asked Don about that, and he said he has the same one except it's opposite.
Right.
John will do anything I ask him to do.
And then there's the new one. Bobby will do anything.
No, the new one says we think Bobby will do anything we want him to do.
Yeah.
So what do you guys got? You started some things last year. You want to start there? Tell us what you got started last year.
Go ahead, Mike. Sure. Critter and I started getting together, also with Lou, who's on another show this evening, Full Throttle Hour.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Critter and I started getting together last July, and just initially thought that it'd make a lot of sense for the two of us to get together and see how much we could work together and help each other out. And as a result, after probably 5 to 6 months of working on it, our rules are identical at both speedways. Schedules don't overlap each other as far as late models or modified races. And we've even got some special late model races between the two tracks in the works.
So what percentage of drivers do you see going to both tracks?
That's a hard question to answer at this point in time because the rules really just now got together right. for the 07 season.
So this is
season.
Basically the first season that
yes,
Ryan is.
Right.
Are we calling it anything special, so to speak?
No. Ocala and Citrus, right?
Ocala.
Two tracks working together.
Yeah. Well, you're 45 minutes apart, right?
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The OC.
I kept track of that, and I actually kind of try and help promote that. Periodically throughout the year last year, I had drivers approach me and say, hey, do you mind if we go race at XYZ tomorrow night? Because we do run on Friday nights. And I say, man, if you got a race car, go race it. Go try and take some money from the other track. You're not restricted at Ocala. Go race wherever you can.
How hard was it? I mean, who had to do the most changing to get the rules close?
That was an equal combination of both
really?
Of us, I believe. Yeah, we, one class he'd give a little. The other class, I'd give a little. So, you know,
how many classes are you are you actually running together?
Pretty much even, yeah.
Probably about seven.
Both got hobby stocks.
Yeah. Well, we've changed the name of them to street stocks now, but we've got the pure stock, the
late models.
V8 bomber, modified mini stock. You guys don't run mini stock. That's the only class that did not transfer over.
Okay. I'd say it was about 50-50 as well, too.
Did you both find yourselves, you know, talking about the rules and saying, well, this is why I have this rule, and then he'd say, no, well, this is why I don't have that rule, and then you kind of compromise about it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's just little bitty things usually that you got to deal with. I mean, sure. The big things, most people have them pretty close anyway.
Right.
They're only off by a few tenths or a cam shaft size or something weird. Well, that's pretty cool. What are we expecting in 2007 then from this kind of a working together? What kind of things do you think it's going to really help?
I think it's going to help both tracks tremendously. I really do, because you know, most of the guys, they can race up at Ocala on Friday night, come down to Citrus on Saturday night, and I think it'll benefit the drivers as well as both racetracks.
I agree. I kept track of it last year. What I was saying earlier, we probably had about 10 to 12 cars that went and raced at Inverness on a regular basis on Saturday nights, and that was because it just so happened that those particular divisions, the rules matched up pretty evenly, and now the door's pretty much wide open for every one of them.
So now, do you race late models?
We haven't. This year we're having a late model division. The rules are identical to Inverness's. If they're racing late models, we're not, and if we're racing late models, they're not.
Wow.
And
you're not running like a series thing, though, or six-pack deal or anything like that?
A
series thing?
You're not running a cooperative series. Like
it's just like a weekly show.
Yeah, there's no points involved.
We have talked, and we talked again on the way down tonight, about having a four- or a five-race event between the two tracks and possibly playing some sort of a bonus, you know, to whoever wins the most out of those events.
Well, Citrus has always been famous for the winter stuff, you know, the last few years. You thinking about doing anything like that?
As far as winter stuff?
Yeah.
It's a little too late for that.
No, I mean...
Well, for next year, though.
Next year. We got some big stuff in the works for next year. I would just like to point out that next weekend, the 10th and 11th, is our opening weekend.
Yeah. Right.
With the 11th being the 200-lap Pepsi Blue Grade Modified race. Next year, and I just felt as though that I didn't want to just put three months of thought into it or promoting into it. We're going to add next year a three-hour world championship figure race, similar to what's done at the Speedrome, and also out in California. We're going to try and be the southeast third portion of that.
Really?
Hmm. Awesome. We've been talking about
We get a couple figure eight guys that come in. And
on a regular basis.
John LaValle.
John LaValle.
If you keep going, you're going to end up with the reputation for being an innovator.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Watch out.
That's scary.
I mean, the 12-hour thing, you know.
Well, now that 12 hours of Ocala.
Yeah.
Right up to it, though, they were not calling you the innovator. They were calling you a lot of different things, and most of them was crazy. But after that, then they got a little with it and decided to get with the program. And that's pretty cool. He showed me that.
Yeah, here we have a copy of Speedway Illustrated from
Dick Berggren's Speedway Illustrated.
What month is this? What month? This month in Speedway Illustrated. Here it is. Little note on the front cover: 12-hour stock car race, and it's the 12 hours of Ocala.
And they got a pretty big write-up.
And you can get 2,000 laps of seat time.
2,000 laps of seat time in one sitting.
It was really incredible.
It was the most incredible thing. And I still, every time I think of the race, I think of the guys that came down from a dirt track in Tennessee.
No doubt.
And rode for 12 hours and came in, you know, in a little four-cylinder and just showed everybody that it's a distance race and timed. It has nothing to do with.
I'd never been on an asphalt track.
Never been on an asphalt track.
Yeah,
it was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Now next year when you do that, I think you talked about maybe doing it throughout the day.
It's already scheduled during the daytime. We've had a huge influx of requests to drivers to make sure we put on the schedule again for next year. A lot of local drivers regretted not having cars built for it. It was kind of an experimental thing and wanted to see how it went. And thanks for A and B for doing a fantastic job with the transponder system. That was a key element to the event being successful and going off without a hitch. So it's a daytime event next year, and we'd like to turn it into a big party at the end with a great band to come and play at the end of it.
There you go. Dangerous Dan.
Yeah.
Well, what about we make it the 12 hours of Ocala, and then they got to all load up, and they got to race to Citrus and finish, run another 12 hours.
And finish the other 12 hours. Yeah. There you go.
The 24 hours of Central Florida. There you go.
Wow.
So, hey, Critter, what the tracks are all way different racetracks.
Right.
What are these guys, what kind of setups are these going to have to do to change to make it Friday, Saturday?
From what I understand, talking to a few of the guys, it's really not a whole lot of difference.
Really?
Yeah. The gearing's about the biggest deal.
Right, yeah. You know. So, you know, basically they can just change gear and go run Citrus.
Yeah, pretty much.
I take it that you guys are already running the same kind of tires.
Right.
So there's not a problem there.
Yeah.
And so forth. It just it sounds like such an awesome deal that it's too good to be true. But, it's you know, to be able to go on a Friday night, Saturday night, I mean, when my father used to be able to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday back in the 70s and 60s.
Right, yeah.
And for that to start to kind of come back is showing everybody that we do have a resurgence of the short tracks in the South. I guarantee it.
It's going to be a good year of short track racing in the state.
Yeah.
It just makes sense, especially with the close proximity, and it's also about helping to bring down the cost for the racers, too, you know, instead of building a track-specific car. Why shouldn't he be able to take it to other tracks, you know?
Mike, you're pretty new to this, Critter. You've been around it a long time.
Yes, sir.
Do you see what Jack and I have talked a lot? We see it as almost it's a resurgence starting in stock car racing, where a couple years ago it didn't look good.
Right.
It was pretty dismal looking. Okay. But all of a sudden you got people like Mike coming in, Bobby Deal down at Charlotte, you know, John doing a few different things out of DeSoto, you at Citrus. There's a lot of new stuff coming, and it almost feels like a resurgence.
Right. Well, I think a lot of us have found if we don't do something different to bring in some new blood, it's going to end up dying out, you know. So we're trying anything and everything to try and make this survive.
Yeah, we don't see – we're not doom and gloom people here. We don't see something going south. We see it as on a pretty much upswing.
I think it'll be an upswing for both of us
and
hopefully for the whole state.
A lot of youth coming into the stock car ranks, and also we see people who have been out of the game for a while coming back. In Florida particularly, I'm of the opinion that the overall economy and also the horrendous storms that we had that a lot of people don't realize how devastating those storms were 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
right.
To just, I mean, people from one end of the city.
Yeah, there were
other
people that
went
to the tracks, local Saturday night track, every week up until those storms came, and then suddenly they had other things to worry about. They really couldn't worry about it.
Other priorities. Yeah.
And, it seems to us it's we're on a positive thing going here. And one of the reasons that we actually started doing this show, and I was talking to a guy who works with the World of Outlaws today, and we were discussing this, and he took off on a tangent, and he was speaking exactly what we talk about all the time is, you know, people, you know, this thing about the track owners, you guys have dealt with this, the NASCAR Saturday nights taking away.
Sure.
The more NASCAR does on Saturday night, the more it's supposedly taking away from the short tracks. And we've sort of come to the conclusion that NASCAR's almost got to do this because NASCAR, you know, if you take all the short tracks in this country and add them all up, and we've done this, and you sit down and you look at some average attendance figures, and because up north they don't just race on Saturday night. They're racing Tuesday and shorter seasons, but they're racing a lot.
Yeah, they get the same number.
And you add up all these people that are at these tracks in the pits, in the grandstands. Short track racing is a nation. I mean, there is just a whole bunch of people who, you know, who it's a huge audience.
Hey, Jack. Yeah. We got somebody who's a mover and a shaker here in Florida in stock car racing, Rusty Marcus from Orlando Speed World. Rusty, we were just talking about with Critter and Mike Peters here about feeling the resurgence in stock car racing. How's it feel for you there at Orlando?
I think stock car racing is going to be in pretty good shape in 2007. I could be wrong, but just judging by what I've heard on the off season, I think stock car racing is going to be in a lot better shape than it's been in the last few years, that's for sure.
Bill?
Well, I was just going to say that you know, an estimated 800 tracks run throughout this country in any given year, whether they run a 12-week season or a 24-week season. And even if they all average only about 2,000 people in the stands and the pits combined, that's 1.6 million people every Saturday night, basically, across the country. And that's just an awesome number of people that NASCAR knows.
It beats the hell out of NASCAR stats.
And I got a feeling there's somebody sitting in some meeting somewhere a couple, 3 years ago, when they 4 years ago, that decided, hey, we got to do more running on Saturday night. We've got to cut into that and use that to our benefit and not just leave it out there for those guys to keep raking in a couple of bucks and doing what they do. So I think they've actually consciously thought about
it. Would it be better for them to do that? Or would it be better for them to let us do what we do so that we can help build them up?
That's where I was going with that, Rusty, exactly. Okay. They need to leave you guys to where you can keep bringing forward the Jeff Gordons and the, you know, so forth to make their tracks work.
Well, and that's an interesting point. Hey, Rusty, how are you? This is Mike.
Hey.
Even one of the things that I'd like to do at our track, it doesn't affect us on Friday nights, but initially when we were thinking about Saturday nights or Friday nights, what's so bad about the short tracks being able to put up a Megatron or a big screen and letting the folks that come to the track watch the race that's on Saturday night? You know, let's all work together and cooperate. And from the initial research that I gathered, it was because of NASCAR. They're really not for that.
Yeah, you can't redo it for public consumption, only personal.
They're afraid you're going to make a dollar off of it.
Yeah, right. People are going to come to your track to see it because
I can tell you. Well, I can tell you one other thing, though. Being an announcer, like if there's a Saturday night race, of course we've got a TV up in the tower. If I step out there and say one update, people freak. Oh, I've got my VCR on. God bless you.
My TiVo.
Yeah, that's terrible whenever you give updates, because I remember back in the days whenever I'd be up in the tower, people would come up and give me updates, and whenever I would announce them, there would be a big herd of them coming going, shut up.
No doubt.
But maybe they were talking about that for some other reason. I don't know.
Well, you know, Rusty, I wonder that sometimes too, brother. Mike, do you see any effect on citrus during NASCAR nights at all?
Or Critter?
Rider?
Not a whole lot, but we do see an effect, yeah. You know, I honestly think that since Nextel has taken over, they've made a lot of changes, and they've angered a lot of people.
Yes.
And I think that might be the influx to the short tracks that's making it come back, too.
Well, and then there's another thing is that, and you guys are, I'm sure, very aware of this, is stock car fans, I mean, these are some, they're rabid.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Most of the NASCAR, there's a whole, maybe not most, but there is a tremendous piece of that NASCAR fan base. They're not anywhere near like that. They buy their T-shirt, and that makes them a race fan.
Right.
But you start asking questions about this, that, they don't know anything about it, really. Yeah. Whereas stock car fans, and you take especially, like we've been talking a lot of sprint car people and the whole World of Outlaws thing. I mean,
they could name every driver.
Some of these guys that are, they don't have anything. They don't watch NASCAR.
Sure.
You know, we talk to all these guys in the World of Outlaws. They don't even pay attention to NASCAR. It's like, what's that?
You know? Yeah, there's some amazing minds out there that were just fans for all these 30, 40 years.
Sure, lately. Absolutely.
But something that I would like to interject into that is, not only do we, the short tracks, the local tracks, need to work together, but I see it in the best interest of everybody for NASCAR and the short tracks to work together, because we're the feeder pond for them. Where else are they going to get them from? They get them from us. And if we're fighting each other, it's just like whenever the short tracks fight in Florida. It does nobody any good. And I'm sure that's not an opinion that a lot of people share, because you see people with the, you know, well, you know, NASCAR is terrible and all this stuff. Where do a lot of these guys want to be at? They want to be in that big victory circle at Daytona or Talladega or one of those tracks. And if we could get everybody to work together, it's just going to help everybody, I think.
Well, there's no doubt about it. There is no doubt that you need these short tracks and Saturday night races, Friday night races, Sunday afternoon occasional, to get guys some seat time and so forth, and really, you know, give them the opportunity to shine at the local level and show that they can work their way up, that they can, you know, become a late model driver and move up through the classes, become a great racer in the local level, and then hope and pray that their opportunity comes along. And right now, if you go through the pits and look at every NASCAR Nextel Cup driver, he's got something in his back pocket. He talked to the right person at the right time. He run into the right person or did this part and that. His family was in it already. There's a lot of that and so forth. It's still very difficult for the local Saturday night racer to become a NASCAR driver.
Don, you think, Don, Mike, either one of you, do you think we should appoint Rusty as the ambassador who's going to go talk to NASCAR?
There you go. Rusty,
go work on that Megatron deal for us so we can start airing the race.
I think Rusty becomes
if
the
anybody
president
can get it done,
Union.
It's probably Rusty.
I'll tell you, when I raced at Ocala, it was a Saturday night racetrack, and I think one of the biggest things that I used to see affect the track were Gator games. When there was a Gator game, forget it,
yeah.
Well, that's true at a lot of tracks. I mean, when I was down at Okeechobee and Clewiston, a lot of their things, you know, like if there was some kind of local community event going on, forget it. They were going to be there, and like Clewiston really got hit hard with the Friday night football game.
Yep, high school football, buddy.
And it was just high school football, not college, high school. And it would kick their butt every time that would happen.
That's why we can't run Friday night races down here, because there's like 7 high schools within a 30-40 mile radius of the racetrack. And there's no way.
They'd draw 10,000 people to the stadium.
It's amazing.
While we're talking about NASCAR, I just wanted to just bring up one thing that was of value to me. Last year, Angie, myself, and Lou went to the 3-day seminar in Orlando, the owners and promoters 3-day seminar. And probably the biggest, most valuable piece to me as a new track owner was listening to Curly, Promoter of the Year, speak. And one of the things that he tried to drive home during his presentation was short tracks need to get back and focus on short track racing. Stop trying to emulate NASCAR, driving the costs up for the drivers, so forth and so on. And that's one of the things that I really took home with me to Ocala Speedway, all the way down to the track grooming, traction compound. I mean, we did everything we could to promote better side-by-side, fantastic races on our track and on our speedway. And, man, I'll watch a short track race over a NASCAR race any day of the week.
No, absolutely.
And you have a pretty good example sitting right next to you, because, Critic, you guys got it going, man. 150. It's not uncommon to have 140 cars, 150 cars in your pits.
Right. I'm hoping a lot of that rubs off into Mike's area. I really do.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute.
And you too, Rusty.
I feel like the minority here.
Well, you know.
You're from Bithlow.
Okay, Rusty, I guess I gotta let you go.
Hi, Rusty, I forgot you were there.
Yeah, right.
Tell us about the Winter National deal you got coming up there real soon.
Winter Nationals is starting next Thursday here in Orlando, and the first 3 days are going to be open wheel lights, mod lights, pro challenge, mini cup, classic cars, and we're going to have a new group here. They're not really going to be racing, but they're going to be debuting their cars, and it's the TQ Modified, group based out of down in the Fort Pierce area, putting some cars together that seem like they're going to be kind of cool. Then we're going to take Sunday off to try and get the place cleaned up again from having that group in. And then on Monday, we'll start with the 600 cars, which is the Thunder Roadsters, the Legends, the Bandoleros, and it's all going to be 600 that week. Before I put other things in there, and we're getting so many 600 cars that we need to just keep it 600. And they'll be running during the daytime on that Monday, on that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And what I'm doing with that is I'm hoping, because the 600 cars aren't really that well known. I mean, people have heard about them, but they don't know them that well. And if you're here in Florida for vacation for Speed Weeks, and you've got the chance to go see all the big super late models and modifieds and TBRE wing sprint cars and all the stuff that's going on at the dirt tracks, and or you have to make a decision between that and going to see a legend show, not many people are going to opt to see that legend show. What I'm doing is I'm going to run them in the afternoon, and I'm going to honor the tickets from New Smyrna Speedway the night before to the grandstands here, so that if people are looking for a racing fix, we're going to fix them.
All right, and Rusty.
I hope what it'll do is get some more exposure for our 600 cars, because Ocala and Inverness both know when those cars come, they put on a show.
All right, what are the dates for that, Rusty?
Those are 600 Legends, right?
So right, that's the Remax TVG Legends.
Yeah, what do we got to do to have them at Ocala?
You don't have them at Ocala?
Do I need to call Don?
When do you want them at
Ocala? Hey, Rusty, Mike says Don will do anything in the world for him.
Wait, I think my phone went dead. Hello?
Rusty, what's those dates on that show real quick?
They start February 8th, which is a practice day. That's Thursday. And then we'll race the 9th and 10th. Then the Legends come in on the 12th, and it's practice all day on Monday. And then we race the 13th through Saturday at 1:30 in the afternoon.
All right, brother. It's great talking to you, man.
Hey, great talking to you guys. And I hope to be able to visit some of these other tracks here this year because I really need to get out and see some new stuff.
Yeah, get back to work, Rusty. I know you got a lot to do there.
Y'all have a great night. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Right. Bye.
Rusty Marcus.
We taking a quick break here?
We're going to take one.
We still got a ton of people going.
We got a ton of stuff we still got covered. Good.
Okay. Don't go away, folks. We'll be back with Ocala and Citrus on the beat. And we'll talk to some other great names in racing along the way.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of the number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Timbrink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Armed with your trusty marker, you do the impossible. Make an incredibly dirty place even dirtier.
Scribble it down now.
Your jokes make us pee our pants. Lucky for us, they're down around our ankles.
Yeah!
You answer our most vexing question. Whatever happened to the man from Nantucket?
Oh, that's a good one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh ruler of the rhyme. Because when we're looking for a good time, we call you.
Oh, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Rider.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Karnak.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, Karnak.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact finders combing the short tracks of America, Karnak.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit Karnak.com online at KARNAC.com or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. Karnak.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photos and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Real Racing USA or Real Rock and Roll USA or Dan Toler USA. We're back. Snook River Grill. I'm Rick Angie.
I'm what's left of Bill Green.
You're what's left of Bill Green. And with us right now from North Florida Speedway, Phil Ledogno?
Yes.
Is that it?
Ledogno. Close enough.
Close enough. Yeah. How's it going, Phil? Getting ready for a big weekend, right?
Excellent. Going excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good. Phil, we're sitting here with two of your compatriots, the owner of Mike Peters from Ocala Speedway, the owner, and Don Critty from Citrus County.
If you had
a track owners convention.
Yeah, and if you had the opportunity and you wanted to talk to them and ask them a question or say something to them about their operation and you coming on board and what's been happening up your way, what would you like to say to them?
To Mike and Don?
Yeah.
Hopefully they're welcoming us aboard, and, you know, as track owners, we know how hard it is to run one of these facilities, that we possibly could work together down the road, and hopefully they hear good things about us as we hear about them.
You guys hearing about North Florida Speedway? He's
absolutely
done some amazing stuff up there.
We look forward to it.
Angie and I travel around quite a bit and trying to hit other tracks when we're not racing. We haven't made it there yet. We must.
This weekend, yeah. Big one. We'll getting ready for your first Winter Nationals, huh, Phil?
Absolutely. Hopefully Don and Mike hear good things about our facility. We've made big renovations between last year and this year with new lighting, new surface. And hopefully it's helping Florida out with the reputation, because this facility was not in good standing with a lot of different people and track owners, and it was just giving everyone a bad vibe and not good comments about the Florida racing.
Hey, listen, this is Bill Green. I had the greatest idea come to me almost in my sleep last night. I think I was just falling off to sleep.
No.
You should start calling your national Winter Nationals the Northern Nationals. You're the northernmost one in Florida, and then everybody could pick up on it, and they would start. You know, it would sound great.
That's
Northern Nationals.
Good idea. I'm penciling that in.
The Northern Nationals.
It says the North Florida Winter Nationals. Well, 2007.
But East Bay has the 410 Florida Nationals, and they've had it for 30 something years. The Northern Nationals could be a good starting place for him and his new track, and I think it would be awesome.
Bill, we're supposed to sell these ideas.
I understand that, but...
Yeah. I was going to ask, is there a charge for that?
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
No problem, man. I just thought it was awesome, because I've been talking to Pete. A lot of things happening. Sprint cars coming in. You're going to run some of your own classes, plus the modifieds. Looking for a big, big weekend, I bet.
Absolutely. What do you think about this Florida Mods versus UMP versus USCS?
I think
it's anything like the super late miles we had at Lakeland this past weekend. It's going to be a good show.
Absolutely.
Nothing about it. This weekend's race, the USCS guys coming down and getting a chance to come up after they've been to East Bay. What can we look for there? Are we going to get a full house? Are we going to get a couple of guys just headed north-south, or what's going on?
It's going to be a full house. I know that Pete is telling me he's got about 20 modified at his end, and I know I have about 20, 25 modifieds at my end that have already called and pre-entered, so it's going to be one heck of a show. I know the sprints, he's got probably about 20 guys pre-entered and people calling every day, so it should be one heck of a show. Again, we're doing it for the fans, bring it back to the North Florida area on dirt. So hopefully we'll put on a good show for the fans up there.
No doubt. Now, by about Wednesday evening, you need to have those lists posted on your website, or at least up, so people know who's coming, because that'll bring a lot of people to look and see how so-and-so runs, or they may be a big fan. They want to travel the extra distance to come see it.
Absolutely. We were trying to, Pete and I were talking, we were trying to surprise the fans up there. We did get a few calls. Let's post who's going to show. And I know he started posting yesterday who's going to show up, you know, the Danny Martin, Kenny Adams. So he started posting, but we were trying to keep it a hush-hush to really surprise the folks up in that area.
Okay. We got to spend a little time working on the media.
Hey, Phil, this will be your second year running the track, right?
Yes, sir.
How is it that you decided to get into track ownership?
Well, it all starts back when I was 6 years old. I used to go to a couple of facilities up in the Northeast, Fonda Speedway, Utica Rome, Syracuse, New York, and I traveled with a gentleman by the name of Super Steedy Koval and went everywhere with him from Thursday night to Sunday night. And my dad was good friends with the owners of the Fonda Speedway. And just flashbacks. I tried to get away from it when I moved here from upstate New York. And it's in your blood and it comes back. And we bought a car 2.5 years ago, my wife and I. Started racing at Putnam and just traveling all around to the different facilities. And we figured we saw tracks closing. We heard about a lot of different tracks closing. And we felt that if we could pick up a facility and show the racers and the fans that we're going to be there for the long haul, that we could help keep the sport alive in the state of Florida.
That's cool. That's a damn good reason to do it.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think you're headed down the right road, man. I've seen some of the pictures and stuff. It sure looks like you're working hard enough to make a difference.
And I mean that sincerely because we don't need track owners who are buying tracks so that they can make profits off of Florida real estate. We need track owners that care about racing.
Absolutely. With my normal job during the week, we do a lot of racing with Michael Waltrip, with Aaron. So we talk racing all week long and just get us pumped up for the weekend to go up there and have fun.
Cool deal.
That's the way to do it. The track, when you got the track, though, the track was in a lot of disrepair, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was that old oil base. We pulled out about 200 loads of oil-based dirt, brought in 250 loads of a base, a gumbo white clay that I saw that they did with Syracuse, New York. So we brought that in, and then we brought another 100 and some loads of the red clay to put over it, which would help with the rutting that I see a lot of tracks fight with on a normal basis, where they get the big holes. And if you don't have a good base and just bring in that red clay, you know, it'll create big holes and things. And then we moved on to the lighting. Their lighting system was ancient and non-existent. If you went down the back stretch, you could barely see the car in front of you. So we upgraded that, brought a scoreboard in that we actually purchased from out there in Wewahitchka, brought in some scales, brought in new fencing, barrier, and gave it a big uplift with, you know, painting and pulling trees and cars and things to the nature, because it was a trailer park. It was an auto parts store or salvage yard all in one.
I've seen some video of North Florida Speedway back middle of last year or so forth, and it was like the racers went around the track and kind of ran through the spotlight in turn four.
Absolutely.
And you could actually see them only in turn four. The colors would show up and stuff. So it was pretty shoddy, I'm sure, but I'm glad to hear you're able to make some upgrades. What kind of feeling do you get putting that much time, effort, and money into upgrading and then hoping they will come, kind of thing?
We know they'll come. We get a lot of people stop by over the weekend seeing what we're doing, a lot of interested parties. We have a lot of big events planned for this year to give back to the community, to the racers as well. So we know they'll come. We feel confident with that. Just with what our base was last year with drivers and fans, I feel that we can do nothing but go up from there. And with the improvements we got planned for this year and then the beginning of next year, they'll see that we mean business and going to give them a good facility to come to.
Well, we're looking forward to coming up this weekend for the Winter Nationals up there and looking at all the big races you got.
Excellent. Excellent. I appreciate that.
Before you get away, tell us about your local racers that will be involved in this weekend. I think there's a couple of local classes going to run, correct?
Absolutely. We're going to have the pure stock and the hobby stock that will be running. The hobby stock last year was a heck of a deal we did. We did with Brown Motorsports, and we were having $1,000 races. We had 8 of them last year. We've upped their purse to make it attractive. We've adapted some rules from Putnam since that facility has closed to help that local community come over and race with us. And our race car drivers, we had a meeting with them. They felt confident to change
you know, some of the rules to make it fair for the Putnam fans and the Putnam race car drivers to come over. So we'll have the Pure and Hobby, which that's going to be an excellent venue. And then the following week we're bringing in the trucks.
Wow. Okay. We're going to be busy for your Winter Nationals. Your Northern Nationals are going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
So thanks so much, man.
Hey, Phil, if you survive Friday night when Bill Green's up there, you'll see Rick and I come up on Saturday. And if you can get through this weekend putting up with us, I think you'll have a great year, man.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Yeah, Pete Walton invited me up for the weekend. So
good. We'll take care of you.
I hope so.
I can't wine and dine you with the exotic rooms yet, but we're working on that for next year.
Yeah, a couple of crab claws and some lobster tails, brother. We're okay.
Right, you'll be lucky to get grits and egg, Bill. We'll talk to you Saturday, Phil.
All right. So, hey, get a modified together, and we'll let you enter that so we can put you on a schedule for the year and give you a modified chassis if you win the points.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Sounds good.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Hard to call the modified race if you're in the modified race. Okay.
I've had people want me to do that.
Don, what is the in 2007? What would be some of the biggest things that might be different or exciting that you're looking forward to up at Citrus?
We didn't really plan a whole lot of exciting things this year. We stepped back and we took a look at our local racers, and we're going to pay a little bit more attention to the local racers this year.
Gotcha. Well, that should be all right.
Yeah, it should be.
I mean, you got what are some of the you have late model racing all the time.
Oh, yeah, late model racing modifieds. Is every other week, just like our modifieds. They're going to switch off again. We're going to continue with that. Other than that, it's just going to be we've got the traveling series coming in. Most of them are only coming in one time this year.
TBRA?
TBRA will be there the most. They'll be there four times this year. But all the other classes, all the other travelers will probably be there once. If we can squeeze a second one in, we will. But at this point in time, they're going to be there one time. And like I said, we're going to concentrate more on our local racers.
That's cool. Now, will you still lose a little bit of time to the county fair thing, or does that happen outside the season?
Actually, yeah. We're going to race the entire month of February. We'll be closed for the month of March with the exception of the 31st, and that will kick off our new season.
Okay.
Actually, our new season will start Saturday night for points for most of our classes, with the exception of late model, and then it'll start March 31st.
Well, that'd be kind of cool for you, Mike, because then there can be a really nice, good faith effort to try to get some of those racers to come up and have their opportunity to go race up your way.
Absolutely.
And so forth. Do you have any time during the season you plan on taking off because dodge the weather, whatever?
Nope. No time at this point in time.
Okay.
And you do figure eights at Citrus County Speedway.
Yeah, every other week.
Which, by the way, if anybody is like you guys from Maine that are listening, Citrus County Speedway is about 50 miles north of Tampa.
Right.
Cool.
Jack, we got a special guest on the phone right now.
We have a maniac on the phone.
A maniac. The man who stands in turn four at New Smyrna for the last 29 years. Jim Jones. Jim, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
All right, man. Hey, what a night last Saturday night at Lakeland, huh?
Yeah, it was a little bit miserable. The rain kind of put a damper on everything.
It was funny watching all them photographers walking around with Walmart bags and sweatshirts covering up all their equipment.
I had the sweatshirt. Everybody else had Walmart bags.
So, Jim, how did you get doing this 29 years ago? How did this all start for you?
Well.
Can you remember that long ago?
Oh, sure. I'm not that much brain dead yet.
Okay.
Actually, I was working, started in 1975, I was working at a photo lab. I was doing one-day film service in Daytona. And my job back then was running a C-41 machine, developing film, and doing pickups on the beach side at all the Greek gift shops. And, you know, picking up film and taking it back, running C-41 and printing it, coming back the next day. Well, anyways, one of our customers at the time was Don Bach. And Don Bach had been a photographer at the Volusia County Speedway for a number of years and New Smyrna also. And at the time, I wanted to be a rock and roll photographer. I was trying to follow rock bands and make money, but as we all know, rock bands don't make any money. So I wasn't making any money. So Don asked me one time to come out to the track one time and give him a hand. And the first time he took me out to Bobberville and stood me next to the telephone pole in turn one, I backed up about five paces and said, "You're out of your goddamn mind." Well,
no, this is cable, or this is internet.
Well, about 1977, he asked me if I wanted to shoot a racetrack because Bobberville, the dirt track, and New Smyrna were running on the same night. And he asked me if I wanted to do a track. And he said, "I'd rather have Bobberville because I've been there forever. So if you want to do New Smyrna, it's all yours." So that's how I got started.
And the rest is history.
And you've seen, you've seen it all. I mean, I can't even imagine. You must have archives just...
gazillions.
Astonishing, huh?
I have a lot of file books from when I started at New Smyrna in 1978. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can do something with all of the good stuff that I have.
You gotta make a book.
I started to say, just start making books by the year.
That'd probably be a good idea.
They will sell.
And then go from there.
You know, back then,
did he tell you about
the photographs weren't as good as they are nowadays with the film change and the equipment change and now with the digital and everything. So, technology's gotten a lot better for us over the years.
Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir. Did you
tell them about the agreement, how you started your agreement with Clyde Hart?
Well, Clyde come up to me and he said that, you want to do the photography here? And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to give it a try." And he says, "Well, I'll tell you what." He says, "I'll let you shoot here." He says, "As long as you help me out in promotional for the racetrack." And he goes, "If I want a picture of a race car, a race car driver, you'll take care of me." And I said, "That's right, Clyde." So we did a handshake on it, and the rest is history from there.
And that's how deals were made back in 1978 at the racetrack,
especially
right?
With Clyde Hart. Clyde Hart was the type of guy that if you shook his hand and made a verbal comment or a verbal contract, it was good. But I tell you what, don't you ever go back on Clyde.
Hey, Jim, was it true about, like, somebody getting shot in the pits?
Well, I wasn't there at the time as far as that goes, but from what I heard is that somebody was kind of mad at Clyde about some rules or infractions on the racetrack. And Clyde back then, he would come across from the grandstand side to the pit side to do the payoffs at the end of the night, and he have a brown paper bag with the money stuffed in it in his back pocket. Well, from what I heard is that these guys were gonna kind of rough Clyde up, kick his butt, and take his damn money. Well, I don't know if this is true or not. This is just what I know from, from back then is that,
racetrack lore.
They were going to try and kick Clyde's ass. So at the time back then near the pit office, there was a phone booth. And Clyde jumped in that phone booth, was on the phone with the sheriff's department saying, "Hey, I got a problem out here." Well, these three rednecks were outside the phone booth kicking in the glass, was going to try and get at him. I guess they forgot that the other in the back pocket, Clyde kept a little handgun, and he protected himself. He took care of the business.
There you go.
Not tonight, boys. Not tonight.
Jim, you've seen a lot of action at that racetrack. What? Going back in your memory, what do you think was the highlight of your photography career right now?
I don't know if I have an actual highlight per se, is that I remember the first speed weeks down at New Smyrna in 1978. Like I said, I never shot too much race car before. I was trying to be a rock star photographer. And Clyde was coming up to me telling me I need to get shots of these certain drivers. And he was mentioning names like Richie Evans, George Kent, Charlie DeZombag, Jeff Bodine, Gary Blue, and people like that, and I had no idea who these people were. And so my experience was, shooting these drivers and going up and talking with them, and they were looking at me and saying, like, "Well, who's this little long-haired guy come up and talk to me like that?" And I didn't know who they were, so I was just trying to be buddies with them and everything. So it kind of went on from there.
Pretty cool, man.
That is way awesome.
It was quite an experience. Yes, it was. Getting into the racing scene was a lot different for me than other photographers because, like I said, I had no idea who these guys were until I actually started shooting race cars and watching them on the track racing, and you can figure out who's the hot dog and who isn't back then.
Jim, if people want to see your pictures or get pictures from you, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I have a toll-free 800 number, which is 1-800-797-3705.
Hey, Jim.
I have a website available, jimjonesphoto.com, where you see my latest things over the past few months. I just started the website. And if you want to see some other things, you can go to the Fast Car site or News Smyrna Speedway site, and you can see the stuff I shot over the last year or two.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you a question here now. I've watched you. As a matter of fact, I've taken your picture many times because you get up real up close and personal with this stuff. Have you ever been scared?
Well,
I heard somebody call answering that one for you in the background.
I play the angle. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but you know how a race car goes around the racetrack, and when they if they spin out, someone spins out or crash, you know kind of which way the direction is going to go. So I've always tried to play the angle on the track as to where I'm standing, the car's going to go away from me, or I'm in a position where I could take a couple of big steps and get out of the way.
Yeah, we have our photographer here, Bill Hunt, and he was playing that angle one night, and tire missed his head by about 2 inches.
A tire.
At East Bay Raceway. He wasn't even looking. He was looking the other way. And that was the night he learned never turn your back on the cars.
Oh, never.
Yep.
Never.
Yeah,
you always look in front of you what's coming. You don't worry about what's going on behind you, because that's past. That ain't going to bother you.
His skin turned the same color as his hair.
What's the closest call you ever had, Jim?
Well, I actually got hit in Orlando one time, and there was a situation where back before they had the Bandolero track in Orlando, the racetrack or the grass in the infield just ran up to the racetrack. And they have a start line coming out of turn four, per se, before they go on the front stretch, and they have the white line there. And I was standing right towards the white line, and I was getting the pack of cars coming around before the start of a race. And that way you get the pack of cars, and you can see the Orlando speed world on the back of the wall. Well, I would get my shot, and I would walk towards the infield because it'd be about a good 2 or 3 seconds before they actually threw the green, they started racing, so I'd be out of the way. Well, it was one instant that the guy on the pole and the guy on the outside of the pole decided they were going to rub fenders early before the start of the race. And so as the guy on the bottom pushed the guy on the top kind of out of the way, the guy on the top decided that he wasn't going to stand for that, so he came down and hit the guy on the pole, which knocked him into the infield, right where I was standing, and I had no place to go. So luckily, the back end of the car kind of came towards me. I tried to leap out of the way, and the right rear fender of the car kind of clipped my legs and threw me in the air, and I kind of landed on my chest. Well, I got up right away, and I was pissed. I said, I'll be an SOB. You know, these guys are out here mess around the racetrack, and they nail me, out of the way. And I was kind of mad. I was, full of dirt and mud and everything like that. Luckily, my cameras were okay. And I went on to shoot the rest of the races that night. And I guess at the time, one of the announcers, I think it was Gene from Lakeland, the guy that does Lakeland. It could have been someone else, but I thought it was Gene, and he made the comment, Jim Jones takes a licking and keeps on clicking.
Well, there you go. The
sports highlight of the Sunday night news with me on there. But anyways, that next day, or on the way home to the track that night, all of a sudden I started getting, like little bruises, lumps everywhere. And the next morning I can barely walk. It kind of messed up my back a little bit. My fingers were swollen. My toes were swollen from somehow. I don't know how that happened, but that's the closest I came. I actually did get hit, and I've never been anything close since then.
And you were back out the next week, right?
I think I took that weekend off.
Oh, okay.
Because I had to hobble on crutches for a little while, and, it didn't break anything. It just bruised me up pretty good.
You know, Jim, I was just doing some math here. You've done somewhere between 1,500,000 pictures and 2 million pictures.
Oh, Nikon must be happy.
Are you paying for your own film?
Yeah, I've always paid for my own film, yeah.
Well, man, that's awesome. We're going to have to get you to come on down one night and actually sit down with us. It'll be awesome.
Actually, you get these old books out like that, these old negative files that I got, and you start throwing negatives on the light table, and you see these images of all these drivers, and every page is a story. It's very interesting.
Yeah, we talked Saturday night at Lakeland. Yeah. You were wondering, now what the hell am I going to say on that show? I told you to just come rolling out.
Hey, Jim, now that when we were talking about this, you opened up some, so we want to come over there and do a live show from one of the sports bars or some venue over there, some place that'll have us. So,
yeah, come on to the East Coast. It's fun over here.
Yeah, so maybe you can help us line up a place. Come over Tuesday night and do our show from over there.
I think I can do that. I'll work on that and give you guys a plan of attack for the near future here.
Coleslaw cool. Wrestling.
That'd
be
great.
Good.
Hey, all Jim. Right, thanks a lot for being on the show tonight, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, guys. It was a lot of fun. I hope to do it again in the future.
Oh, no doubt. See, this was just your warm-up. We took it easy on you tonight.
Well, I love to be terrorized.
All right,
man. Go for it. I'll defend myself.
All right, Jim. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Talk quick real quick. Don't take no break because it's
we don't have time
to take no breaks.
So. Is there what else you guys want? Tell me what you need. You got something you got to tell us that you haven't told us. I know Mike's holding on to something.
We're looking forward to a great season next year. The introduction of the late model division back to Ocala Speedway. Four or five late model drivers bringing their cars out of their barns. Looking forward to coming back to Ocala. We also introduced a 604 crate motor in the late model division. Modified division and 602 into the sportsman division, with some slight advantages, try and help bring down the costs, and the rules are identical to Inverness's again. We're going to concentrate on more of the same stuff, the basics, a lot more community and public awareness, bring the fan counts up. When we purchased the Speedway, the average fan attendance was around 350. About 60 cars last year. We finished it around 85 to 90 cars, and fan attendance doubled year-on-year average.
Wow. Well, the place is great. I mean, you got great lighting, and, those events like the 12 hours, I mean, that was – I just think that was just a tip of the iceberg of what that event can be like this coming year. I mean, I was amazed at that whole deal.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was cool.
Thank you. I'd like to say thanks to Citrus County Speedway for being willing to cooperate with us and us work together. I'd also like to say hats off to John and Bobby for getting together and looking at working on some things together between their two tracks as well. And maybe all four of us at some point in time can move in that direction all together as well.
We're all in the same game, you know?
Yep. That's it.
Cool. Thank you guys for coming down, man.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime you need to get something out, just pick up the phone and
give us a call, shoot us an email.
Yeah.
And we're all coming up for the Dan Toler concert at Ocala Speedway.
Yeah, appreciate it.
12 hours Ocala, Dan Toler concert.
I'm telling you. All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, Bill, listen, you got somebody on the phone?
Yeah, on the phone. Larry Sams with the ASA Rebel Region gave me a shout here. Larry, what's up, buddy?
Good to hear from you, Bill. After last weekend's big start.
Yeah. I ran into you at East Bay. You were watching the guys running the 360s and stuff. What's coming up now? You've sent me an email and told me about a little bit of stuff about Loxley, Alabama, the ASA Rebel Region kicking off its season. What's all that about?
The Deep South Speedway in Loxley, Alabama. We're going to do a co-race with the coastal region of the ASCS a week from Saturday night. It'll be a kickoff for us, and it'll start their season also. 360 sprint cars. And a lot of those guys going home that don't normally race with us will come stop by and race with us also.
There you go. Say hi to the ASCS Rebel Region. My fault. I misidentified as usual under the pressure of trying to get a deadline in here. Appreciate your call, man. You have to give us a shout back. Let us know how that one goes, too, okay?
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, man. Larry Sams joining the ASCS and bringing on the Red Bull region. I guess it's going to be the southern end of that race and deal.
What series is it?
The ASCS Rebel Region.
What are they?
It's the sprint cars of
the Rebel sprint cars.
Yeah, the Rebel
sprint cars. Yeah, okay.
It's the new one. I've heard of it, some of the stuff going on, and I know Emmett was doing some different stuff, but hadn't heard where it was going to and who was in it and so forth.
Bill, you got the pleasure, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, but I'm brain dead at this moment.
Why are you shaking so bad?
Well, I'm not shaking. I'm
Gary
just trying to remember.
Gary LaPlante.
Gary LaPlante. And he gave his car up. Right? Okay. You introduce him.
Talk. Yes. This is Gary LaPlante. I gave my car up as I injured my shoulder to Jeff Lacey, which I've known for about 6 years. He's won many local races, but he's never won a 50-lap race or a 40-lap race, as he's raced many times in the last 6 years.
Well, now, I have to admit one thing. I almost want to give up the Mr. Excitement moniker, because this kid went nuts when he got out of that car.
Really?
He went ballistic. I thought he was going to kiss everybody. I thought he was going to hug everybody. He almost knocked down four or five people that just wanted to give him a hug. He was just dancing around. You would thought he was on fire like Ricky Bobby. He was having a heck of a time. He could not control himself. At what point in that race, inside the car, pick up the microphone, did you think, I might actually win this thing?
When Checo flag dropped,
because I mean, you was
now he's
the
all
line.
Calm and
yeah. Now he's in one of the new, God, get me the right, Florida Suncoast
Outlaw Street Stocks,
and right behind him, pounding on the rear bumper, is a Crate Motor
Terry Price, right?
Yeah, but it was a Crate Motor
Road Warrior, but they did have Goodyear tires. There were some that had Goodyear.
He put different tires on.
Terry Price driving the car, it don't matter what.
Tip over Terry
if,
Price.
If Terry Price is driving the car, it don't matter
but
what
he
he's
was,
driving.
Yeah. He knows
the back his way bumper around was Charlotte changed because
he was trying everything he could to get around him. But this kid was like, "Hey, forget that. This car is like 9 miles wide. It ain't happening." How cool was that, man?
It was pretty cool. Nice. It would have been my first 50-lap.
Is that the trophy?
Yeah.
He brought the trophy with him.
All right.
You're donating that to us? Oh, okay.
We don't need any more trophies.
I take it you might have him back in the car again. Who knows?
Jeff was trying to get a car ready on Friday night, for the guys that work at my shop. I said, if you guys can get the car ready, Jeff can race it. They worked at about 2:00 in the morning, ready to put a coat of paint on it, ready to move it out, and the transmission we put in it actually was no good.
Wow.
And so we went to the track at 5:30 in the morning, and actually Jeff's dad and I went out, and we kind of spun out, and I hurt my shoulder in my car, and I says, we crashed the car, and broke the rear end in my car, and I says, Jeff, you go get a rear end, you can race my car.
There you go.
He ran to Venice, a friend of ours, got a rear end, put it in there, and I says, take it out and do what you got to do with it.
Awesome. I don't mean to interrupt what little bit of time we got with you, but I got live from East Bay Raceway Park, Larry Jewett giving us an update. Larry, what's going on, man? You said you was in the middle of a red flag.
Yeah, unfortunately, we just had an incident down in Turn 4. A car got into the wall. It was a car of Alan Crimes. Crimes had been the second fastest qualifier. He was only second fast by 1/100th of a second. Fast qualifier earlier, Greg Hodnett, but unfortunately during the running of the second heat, 5 laps into it, he jumped the cushion and got into the wall. He was just outside of a transfer spot. We're going to transfer 5 cars out of each heat race, and right now Danny Lasoski's running 6th in his heat race and is on the verge of not transferring directly into the A main, so we got a little bit of drama playing out when this race resumes. Yeah, 52 cars, and one of the cars that did not qualify was Gary Wright. Wright, the winner of the King of the 360s, right, trying to get that Triple Crown Challenge bonus and pick up an extra $5,000, but had to change engines in that car. Has not qualified, and we have not seen that car on the track, so he did not answer the call for the last chance race. He's automatically in the C main. That could be a story developing here later on tonight at East Bay Raceway Park.
Boy, wow. Danny Lasoski's had a tough time of it this year down there at East Bay, hasn't he?
Pretty much. I mean, he's had some rough goes, but it can sort itself out real quick. I mean, he's got 8 feature wins during Winter Nationals competition, so you can never count the guy out.
That's for sure. I tell you what, it's been an awesome situation. How was the attendance and the car count last night in the non-wing deal?
In the frigid weather.
Yeah, we opened up the non-wing, and I think the car count was higher than the temperature, to be honest with you, because we had 42 cars, and so it was probably neck and neck there for a while. Attendance was pretty decent for a Monday night. It's good to see some of the folks from up north coming down here and coming out and braving it, because according to them, 42 is warm. Well, you know, that's their opinion, obviously. But it wasn't bad. Jesse Hockett put on a good show last night. He won the feature race. But interestingly, each time he was involved in a race, he had to pass Roger Rager for the lead. He passed him on the last lap in the heat race, passed him on the white flag lap in the qualifier, and passed him about the halfway point in the 25-lap main event. But each time, three races, he only passed one car, and it was always Roger Rager.
That's awesome. Hey, listen, last but not least, how are things going in the overall picture of the non-wing 410s and then your alternating days with the wing 410s? Is that something that the racers and the fans seem to like so far?
They seem to like it so far. I mean, because obviously with the change in the format to go wing, non-wing, wing, non-wing, you heard some grumbling about, especially from the crew members, as they're taking them off, putting them on. But I think the fans are really liking it. Because in truth, I think the same fans are coming every time, and they're seeing a little bit of variety. It's not, you know, the storyline take a little break, basically. And the biggest thing comes into it is how much these guys can really, by the end of the week, how much is it going to wear them out, how much is it going to take out of them. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But at the early stages, it's always nice, and generally, you know, the critics are coming out of the woodwork, but they seem to have quieted down a little bit.
Well, man, we appreciate you taking a few seconds. I'm glad we caught you just at the right time, I guess, with the red flag coming out. But anything coming up big by the end of the week? I mean, that's a lot of money and a lot of racers trying to make it for that Saturday night show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Saturday night show and the Friday night show. Of course, the Friday night, the finale for the non-wing, and then Saturday night, the 10,000 win 40-lapper. For the 410, so it's going to be really interesting. Of course, the buzz around here is the big question is how many late models are we going to have next week? And, you know, whatever the Florida lottery is right now, that's how many late models we're probably going to have.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like they're starting to push them off again, man, so we'll let you go and get back to work, but appreciate you stopping by and talking to us here at Real Racing
Glad
USA.
Glad to do it. Hope you guys are having a good time.
All right, Larry Jewett, ladies and gentlemen, live from East Bay Raceway Park.
I think I'm going to go up Thursday and check out
the
410s.
Awesome. Go Thursday. Maybe I'll go with you. I don't know what I got going on, eh? Mr. Lacey, I call you Mr. Lacey because you won a race now. who all besides the man sitting by you giving you the car stuff, who else helped you get to this point in your racing? I mean, a lot of folks helped you along over the years. Who can you remember to thank right now and take care of?
Keys Wheels and Ace Welding, really Gary, my dad, and really. Who set my car up Saturday is Rudolph and my dad. I really appreciate Rudolph helping me and everybody. It was nice racing. I loved it.
What did you do Sunday to celebrate, so to speak? What kind of things happened?
Best part is waking up and having my trophy next to me.
Did you sleep with your trophy?
He slept with the trophy.
Yes, he did.
He slept with the trophy.
You the man.
I guess, we don't have a lot of trophy girls nowadays, so I guess that works out just fine.
Well, Gary, how did it feel getting that first race under your belt?
It felt great. It really did. And we're looking forward to our February 17th race with our sister series, the Central Florida Wingless Sprints will be with us. Which we're glad to open their season up down there in Charlotte County. Yeah. And we're looking forward to it. And we're trying to get some of the old Sunshine Boys out of retirement and getting the little dust cars out. I'm challenging them to come down and make a race with us.
Who's
hanging out with you tonight?
This is Willie Lacey. This is Jeff's dad. He's been racing many, many years.
There's a few folks out there that might remember.
Many.
Willie. Willie, what do you think seeing the kid get out there and race? Number one, were you nervous when he started racing years ago and got into it and kind of thinking, you know, what could possibly happen? But yet, how cool was it to watch him win that one?
Well, see, I stuck him into Sunshine Speedway racing in an enduro car. And ever since then, after that, he wanted to go to street stocks against his dad. And me and him have been racing against each other, and he still says he can beat dad. So we're going to see. I mean... Gary's got about six cars coming out next race, and we'll see if the son can beat the dad.
There you go. Now
we're going to be the challenge.
We'll get him back on here for the second chapter.
For a change, though, you got to go from that being the racer and the spectator to being the proud papa. How cool was that situation?
It was real fun. Real fun, Bill. I mean, to see this boy, he could go farther and farther. I really do see it.
I know he's got the drive. He's got the drive, and I know he's got a lot of things to work on to make it happen for him. But it's awesome to see him get the opportunity and do just what people need to do. You see it in NASCAR all the time. People get a chance to get one race, and they're gonna if you keep it in one piece and get to the top 10, you're doing pretty good, and somebody may notice you and give you a job. Well, he did just that, and he got his opportunity. So hopefully, somebody's paying attention.
Well, yep, you're right, Bill. You know, when you get the opportunity to see your kid do success in what you have done for so many years, it's got to really feel good.
It does. I mean, I'm getting ready next year to build a sprint car. I'm going to put him in a sprint car next year, non-wing.
And we'll look out. Here we go.
Now we're good. Here we go. Bill, we're running over, man.
I know, man.
We're going to get run out of here.
Guys, we really appreciate it. Sorry, held you to
Hey, appreciate it.
Chapter 2, man. We're looking forward to having you guys back on.
Yeah, you guys go 1-2. We'll have you right back.
Wow, Bill. What a show, man.
Holy smokes.
Oh, look. Here comes Jack. He can still move pretty quick.
Where's my list?
I don't know. Dangerous Dan Toler.
Oh, my gosh. We cannot think of
Jim Jones. Not the Reverend Jim Jones, but the photographer Jim Jones.
He's never been to the Caribbean.
Rusty Marcus. Mike Peters. Critter. Phil.
Next week.
Lagonda. Dan Toler again.
Next week's what?
Next week, we have the world Tony.
Tony Vinsconza, I think, is the Italian.
He's the public relations director for the World of Outlaws.
Right, and plus he's going to try and get us a young man.
See, I don't have my list here.
I don't have my list either.
How did you do that?
Hannigan?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, Corbick or something, sprint car driver from Australia.
Penthouse sponsored dude.
And we'll also get
a free subscription.
We are in negotiations with the promoter from the Speedway in Australia. In Melbourne.
Rolling Thunder.
I think that's the one.
Get him
Rolling
on. Thunder. And we will also have the winner of the Northern Nationals.
And we're going to have a bunch of funny talking people on next week. From Australia.
Plus, we'll probably get whoever wins that Saturday night program at East Bay at the same time.
And, Bill, where are you going? You're working this weekend.
Friday, I'm going to drive on up and help Pete Walton out in the USCS.
Hey, we got to have the winner of the Blue Gray.
Winner of the Blue Gray. No doubt.
Bring them on.
Ocala Speedway.
I can't keep up with them all. I don't keep all them schedules, guys. Just keep calling
this is us. Only
That's
Florida.
What you, we need you guys to
this
call
is only Florida.
This is only Florida. We're very lucky because in a few
this
in
is
a
the
month,
Nationals.
In a month, we're in real trouble.
Yeah, we're going. It gets warmer up nationwide. Actually, next weekend we're going worldwide.
Yeah, it's getting crazy.
Make sure you get that number for us, Mike, for the winner of the Blue Gray.
Got to thank Mike Peters and Critter for coming all the way down, hanging out.
Evergreen Development and Construction.
Not Awesome Land Development.
Situation.
Nope.
Dayton Andrews Dodge. Snook River Grill.
Budweiser. Keels and Wheels.
Awesome.
The folks down at Fast Times
Productions.
Yes.
I haven't seen them in a while.
They're very busy with the Fast Mini Cups and all that sort of thing.
We'll have to get Rick and Susan back in here. Yeah. I miss them.
They've been busy. They've been traveling with them fast trucks
and stuff a little bit. Play the music.
Okay. Have a good night. And this will be about the only thing you hear that we don't do from Danny Toler.
Real Racing USA. Next Tuesday night, right here at the Snook River Grill, 7 to 9 p.m.
Thank you.
We'll see you here. Good night now. Show.
making money. You can spend all your love making time. If it all fails to me, says tomorrow, you still be mine. When you're looking for your freedom, nobody seems to care, and you can't find the door. One more time. Take it to the limit. Take it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and all you Danny Toler fans, thanks a lot.